Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back in, second half of the show. Mike Harmon, Dan Byer with you, Jason Smith off for the remainder of the week. We're having some fun with you going through the world of sports. A couple of big stories really dominating the landscape. We'll get to the NFL and the latest how do we go through a season and try to get things unscathed and keep making sure all of our checks cash and that we don't have to get into fights with our rights holders and the PA here in a moment. We've got the college football landscape. We covered a lot last hour as we talked about the Texas and Oklahoma, reaching out to the SEC and the fights that'll go from there and the dance with all the other conferences. There's so much to that. And as we'll watch that unfold with bated breath, because pretty soon every other coach who seemingly doesn't have a stake in it, you know, they're going to put a microphone in front of them and they'll be candid. I can't wait. I mean, I'm sure Mike Leach is ready to give us a dissertation on it as we go. But Dan Byer in for Jason Smith tonight at Dan Byer on Fox is where you find him. You hear him weekdays on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Dan, now we're 48 hours removed. Have you kind of settled in, you know, with the idea that you're a fan of a champion?
Yeah, still waiting for that package to come in that I ordered within the hour of the Bucks winning their title.
You missed out on that $800 card set, though.
Yeah, I did not realize that would have been so valuable. I did see it as I went scrolling through, and I just didn't think that it would be worth anything. And actually, that's not even what I thought, Mike. I was just like, what T-shirts can I get? And I got to find a onesie for the new baby. That's basically what I was looking for. So I scrolled past the pennant, scrolled past the cards, as you said, and then ended up with, still about $100 worth of stuff. But I am the parade today was really neat. It's one of those things where you just don't necessarily expect, or you don't know how you're going to react with certain outcomes. And it just was, obviously being a Bucks fan, you're excited, but it has been like fun for the last two or three days. It's been a really uplifting feeling knowing that they're NBA champions, because honestly, I never thought that I would see it in my lifetime. Of all the favorite teams that I've had, it just would seem that a team like the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA would have the toughest time breaking through and winning an NBA title. But what do you know? It happened in 2021.
And normally, I mean, this is the point. I mean, you're not an old man by any stretch, but this is normally, I've seen what I need to see. Whatever happens next happens. No, you got a baby. You can't do that. You can't say I'm done. I'm tapping out. You know, I mean, so many, you get to the height. I mean, because you saw the Seahawks win.
Sure. Yeah.
You've seen, obviously, dominance of Ohio State. And
true
now,
story.
Yeah.
I even said this the other day because I truly believe that as you get older, like when you're a 12-year-old kid, you have a favorite team in every single sport if you like sports. And sometimes you actually have like two or three favorite teams. But as you get older, it ends up dwindling down just because of time and how much you care and how much you actually really like these teams. But I would have to say now, with the Seahawks winning their Super Bowl title, Ohio State winning a couple national championships during my lifetime, and now the Bucks winning a title, those are my top three. I'm a Brewers fan. I wouldn't call myself a diehard Brewers fan. I always liked the Brewers. Maybe they weren't my favorite team as a kid, but I like the Brewers. I cheer for the Brewers, but I wouldn't call myself a diehard. So I've got titles for those three, and I know that there are tons and tons of fans that don't even have a title for one of their teams. So I am very, very, I am humbled, is if you could say, just like Giannis is humbled, Mike. I am humbled.
No, just don't
by
say
this.
It too often, otherwise I'm going to tell you you're a liar.
Well, you got White Sox in 2005.
Yep.
You had Bulls, for the string
six of them,
six.
Yep.
Bears
Black
in 85.
Blackhawks for several. Bears goes all the way back to 85. And then obviously for
Wildcats.
Me, with Northwestern being where they were as I was a student. And let me give you a little glimpse here. 3-8, 3-8, 2-9, 3-7-1. And then in 95, after I'd graduated, 10-2 and a Rose Bowl loss to USC. So there you have it.
Yeah. In what is the most gorgeous field ever produced in any sporting event, that Northwestern USC Rose Bowl with the purple and white. And it wasn't even like a checkered. It was kind of like it was they were slanted down the, like they were it was purple and then white and purple. It was it looked so good. And then you had the contrasting maroon of USC. I think it's the best Rose Bowl field we have ever seen.
Let me just tell you, and it broke my heart to not be able to go. I had literally just started a job, ironically working for the university itself after graduating. But I had I decided economically I needed to be responsible. So I didn't go, even though I'd missed only, I think, four games during my entire 4 years. That included all the road games.
Sure. Oh, hey.
But missed that Rose Bowl. So I'm waiting on you, Fitz. Let's get it done.
And here's the tricky thing now with the Rose Bowl, with the current setup, and obviously who knows what the future is going to be when the playoff expands, but you can even have a year where you win the Big Ten, and if you're a top four team, if it's not a Rose, I mean, you're not going to the Rose Bowl because you're going to the college football playoff, or you may be seated in a spot where even if the Rose Bowl had the semifinal, you're not going. So even to go to a Rose Bowl when you're a Big Ten title team now is trickier than it used to be because you have to do it in a year where they're not in the playoff and you can't be good enough where you would get into the playoff. So it's not as easy as it seems.
Let's bring it on, 2021. Let's go. Whetted the
Utah
appetite.
Northwestern, right? There you go.
Whatever it takes, man. I don't care. Here's a note from Frostberg. We were keeping an eye on this Red Sox-Yankees game. Red Sox trailing the Yankees going to the bottom of the 10th. Walked it off without recording a hit. Wild pitch. The run scores. Walk, wild pitch. Strikeout, sacrifice. There you go.
It honestly sounds like a Little League game, doesn't it? Like
a ball hit and it just rolls and bad throw and you just keep running around. You know what? I hit a grand slam. No, you hit it 8 feet. And there were a couple of errant throws and you just kept running.
I know. It happens. But this also sheds light on how stupid the rule is to have a runner start on second.
There's so much wrong with it.
Listen,
it's terrible.
I mean, honestly, like, Putting a runner on first would be like a compromise to me, because then at least if you're a defense, if you could get a double play, then you kind of erase that. Like if that was something that you were to do, but to me this is really for like a college football overtime. It's starting at the 12-yard line. Like not only are you in field goal range, Mike, but you could still get a first down. And if you just get the 10 yards to the 2-yard line, like that's how easy this seems to be for Major League Baseball in the extra inning. So thank goodness it's likely going away.
7-inning doubleheaders and this, the bane of my existence right now. I hate them both.
I may be more on Smith's side with some of the 7-inning stuff, but I'm not a fan of the runner on second in the extra innings.
You know what? If managers should be paid to manage. And if that means you got to make harder decisions on your bullpen usage, too damn bad. All right, that's enough baseball for the time being. Let's get back into the National Football League and the story of the day, Dan Beyer, which is huge. By the way, I do have maybe some futures with tickets with your Brewers included, but we'll talk about that another time. The NFL putting out their memo today saying, hey, if we've got to cancel games, then we've got problems. And we talk about forfeitures and we talk about game checks being lost, all of these things, many of which are just rehashing and reiterating things that were put in place last year. And remember, there were no games missed. We had some crazy start times to things. We had some crazy details and adjustments being made and games in the middle of the week, in the middle of the afternoon. And West Coast, that was fine. Hey, I just finished lunch. What are you doing? Watching the NFL.
Steelers are on.
I mean, it's crazy. And we talk about, you know, all the NBA talk of, you know, hey, the schedule and shortened off season. Think about some of the runs there and the number of games the Ravens, the Steelers, and a couple of other teams had to play in short order as things got moved around. But saying here, you're looking at forfeiture if you can't get it done in the 18-week season. So it's basically if there's a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, and that's one of the things that you triple underscore, because there is a recognition that you could be vaccinated and get it. Now, as we go through the process, you know, for those unaware, at least statistically, here in Los Angeles, they put the mask mandates back in place, LA County for indoors, and the data says the hospitalizations are and deaths are unvaccinated folks. So yes, you may get it, but your illness and the symptoms and everything will probably not be as severe to put you in, mm-hmm. in the hospital. And thereby, you know, looking at probably not having the mass effect on the squad. And you can say, all right, I took this step. And so while the NFL hasn't mandated it, that you have to get vaccinated, they've put in the protocols and through the agreement with the Players Association is this is the best path for us to finish another season unscathed, crown a Super Bowl champion, and for everybody to get their bag, right? For everybody to get their mm-hmm. full salaries, for us to get our full media dollars, for us to keep fans in the stadium, and insert every other line of potential revenue you can think of. And all of you out there, you're creative folks, owning business, working in businesses, you know it. You're trying to figure out all the streams of revenue for yourself and for your businesses. And that's exactly what the NFL is doing here. And then you had DeAndre Hopkins, who was one of several players to take to Twitter. We talked a little bit about Leonard Fournette offline, the three of us, and talking, well, what does it mean? Is if he stays away, well, the Bucs got their Super Bowl rings today. What does that mean? Well, Ronald Jones becomes your feature guy. Next man up is really what it comes down to. But here's the tweet that DeAndre Hopkins put out and then deleted. Quote, never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. He took delete that and then later put up a Freedom, which put a bunch of Braveheart things in my timeline. I don't know about you, Dan. But DeAndre Hopkins, look, as many pointed out to him, and we reiterated here, you have the freedom to not get vaccinated. But you're on the hook if something mm-hmm. befalls your squad and your opponents to where there's a forfeiture of the game.
Yeah.
That's it, right? You have a freedom of choice, just like you have a freedom of speech. That does not absolve you of responsibility and consequences, right? I can say a lot of things here on Fox Sports Radio that are technically legal. So the government can't come at me, but the bosses upstairs might just be like, nah, that's a bit too far. You're done.
Sure.
Right? And there might be enough of a backlash from our affiliates, whatever the case may be, and just say, all right, that's the end of it. Did I technically say something that was wrong? No. Offensive, right? By the seven dirty words that you can't say on television or radio, the old George Carlin bit, which has probably expanded quite a bit since then. But just that idea of there are consequences for what you do and what you say. And as a private entity, that's it. You got 32 private businesses working. This is the best way to an end and for everybody to make sure that the season can go on and to best protect everybody in the building.
To me, this is the NFL, I think, thought that the ability to not be tested every single day and to be able to go a week or two without being tested would be enough to, I think, persuade players to get vaccinated. I felt that they thought, like, okay, the access to teammates, the access to meetings, what they would be able to get if they were vaccinated was enough. But I think these reports, Mike, lately of us hearing this team isn't above the 50% or this team isn't here, I think this pushed the NFL to end up going this far. And what I found was interesting in that note was the NFL did say that they would attempt to reschedule a game. But the question is, and you brought up the Steelers, what lengths are they going to go to? Because remember last year, it wasn't just putting the Steelers and Ravens on a Wednesday night and Washington and the Steelers on a Tuesday afternoon or whatever it was. You also had the scenario earlier in the season with the Titans and Bills where they had buys that were switched around. Right. You had matchups that were moved. And there were teams that weren't involved in that COVID situation that had their seasons affected by it. And now if you are threatening to take away paychecks from a team that has nothing to do with it, like now if you're the NFL and you're going to the length of rescheduling games, I just don't think they're going to do what they did last year. I think they're going to tell the team, tough beans, we couldn't figure out a way for you to play on Monday night. This is over. We're not rescheduling. Because I don't know how you could do that to other teams and then put those teams at threat or in danger of losing paychecks in that circumstance. I think that the NFL is going to say, all right, you're playing on Monday afternoon or Monday night, and if you don't get it cleared up, then it's a forfeit.
And to just put a bow on it for this conversation, in the end, players that are on the bubble, and we've talked about that, you and I, in the past, players that are on the bubble, you're probably looking really long and hard because, you know, you're already perhaps in a numbers game at your position going into a training camp battle that this makes the decision a lot easier.
Yep.
Right?
Sure
does. If you're not a game breaker. In this kind of scenario. And the other, you know, as you look at it for the next man up, if you're even a guy that is a veteran, right, you're making a good salary, whatever else, all of a sudden the younger guy probably getting another look, right? Mm-hmm. The next man up mentality that we applaud in the NFL will probably never be on display more as a competitive advantage for teams. Forget about home field. Now it's vaccination and your ability to go through your meetings and everything as cleanly as possible. And I think that's going to be a big factor in the year to come.
Yep. What's easier for the coaches, you know, when they have to deal with everything else, if there's a tie goes to the vaccinated. That's what it's going to be.
There you go. At Dan Beyer on Fox is where you find it. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we do have the first participants in training camp. And what does that mean? Well, Jerry Jones found himself a microphone. And that's good news for us here on this show because we celebrate Jerry like nobody else. Next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back in Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason off in Detroit for the rest of the week. Muskrat dinners and more White Castle than any human, well, would regularly consume. At least I'm going by the law of averages. In his stead, Dan Beyer joins us. You hear him. Go ahead.
Some of the best wings I ever had were in Detroit. Probably, actually, you know, the best wings I ever had.
The best wings you ever had were in Detroit.
Yeah.
What kind of flavor are we talking here?
Well, it was at a place, I believe it was called Sweetwater Tavern.
And Chris is waving his arm frantically. You read him on Pride of Detroit, and he knew it before you said it.
I knew you were going to say that because that is literally the recommendation I have given to everyone who has ever gone near Detroit ever is Sweetwater Tavern in Detroit. You are right. Best wings in Detroit.
Yeah, they're magnificent. I ordered, I kid you not, I think I had wings in there three times in a four-day stay.
No kidding.
So, yeah, it was Final Four 2009. So we arrived Thursday. So there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then Monday left Tuesday. But I got them Thursday night, then got them again on a Saturday night, got them again on Monday night after the title game. Yeah, they were magnificent. Absolutely.
They might be some of the best wings I've had in my life, period.
Yeah, I agree.
Honest. What's the go-to flavor for
it? It's a house flavor.
It's their own
sauce and seasoning on it, yeah.
Did they bottle it?
That is a good question. I'd have to go and investigate.
We need to figure that out.
I'm all about importing.
Let's go.
Let me see. It says they. Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know if they do. I think it's just maybe. Yeah, just
it's,
maybe.
It's not quite buffalo. It's spicy, but it's more of a brown sauce on it. It's a little more sweet.
Yeah,
it's hard to describe. Yeah, but it's unique.
My interest is piqued. That's it.
Now just have not. I was going to say if they did, you'd have to have Smith go down there, pick some up, and then bring some back for.
Well, I might have him do that anyway. I might text him here. I'll Venmo you some cash. Let's go, or Zelle, or just a quick transfer, whatever it takes. Actually, he owes me a lot. I mean, we're just going to leave it there. He knows it too, as does all of America. As you all go. Damn right he does. One guy that we owe a bit because, well, he's given us quotes for years here on the show. Jerry Jones, owner of your Dallas Cowboys, down the road at Oxnard, getting ready to maybe take a little road trip to go watch some training camp action. I need my fill. I miss my days of being in the car and going city to city to watch practices when I lived on the East Coast. Cause it was great because I could still be back, except when I went to La Trobe. Then they set you up. They had a dorm where you could go and stay in. But every other place, I would drive and I'd be able to sleep in my own bed at night. Just great. And I'd do 7 or 8 teams a year. You'd work with the PR staff. They'd always try to get you a person or two that was on your short list. Some would allow you to wander the fields aimlessly. Others would be like, nope, you stay right there. My favorite was always the Steelers because they really let you wander. And then you'd have the voice of God, Mike Tomlin, tell you, I won't read that tomorrow, will I? And just smile at you. It's like, just you and me, coach. It'll inform a lot of what I say about the team, but I won't talk to this specifically. And I love you, too. Because I'd wander in where the linemen were. That's where the interest was for me. And certainly this year, as they're one of the first teams in a very, very long time to shuffle up all 5 starters. But back to Jones and the Cowboys. Micah Parsons is the shiny new first round pick and member of the family. But for Jerry Jones, as we get ready for Hall of Fame induction, and that's really where it all goes, you start walking down memory lane and things done well, things done poorly. And he gave us this gem, I think, that we've waited on for years.
Barry came down from Norman, Oklahoma to talk about getting the job. And he comes in and he said, where's Jimmy? And I said, Jimmy's gone. He said, well, that's not right. Get him in here. I said, Barry, Jimmy's gone. We're sitting here talking about you being the coach. I said, what in the world are you so anxious to talk to Jimmy about? He said, I just wanted to get both you little on this couch and ask you both, how could you this up? That was Switzer.
Do you think you can answer Barry's question now?
I've never been able to know why I f***ed it up.
How about that? I mean, you want to talk about candor and something that's been the what insert whatever euphemism you want in the room all these years, and now you add Switzer to it. Because famously, you know, he's the guy that everybody just said, well, all he had to do is roll the ball out. Right, like he was a basketball coach almost with that team they had assembled, and just all right, he won a title, great. But with Jimmy Johnson not being there, it's always one that, and obviously we love having him as part of the Fox family all these years. Met him on a number of occasions, been very kind, and all the team there, you know, our buddy Jay Glazer and everybody over at Fox. But when that happened. It's just long the I'd really love some more insight of the behind the scenes of their conversations. And there's a clip, you know, Colin Cowherd talking to it a little earlier today about, you know, just business and the football side and trying to merge the two and making sure everybody got proper credit. Because you always want credit for what you did, right? Because it's coach and players usually out front. And for Jerry, well, it's been a lot of Jerry. And these last 20 plus years, it's a lot of Jerry and not a lot of W's.
It also, though, to me, Mike, sheds light on what Jerry Jones has done over these last few years with his patience with coaches. You and I have done shows for years, and I've told you I've always felt that Jerry Jones was the most loyal coach in the NFL, maybe outside of what they do in Pittsburgh, but he would keep coaches there a long time, maybe longer than they should have been. The bottom would have to completely fall out before he would make any move. Like Dave Campbell was there, and he liked Dave Campbell. They went 15-33, but he was there for three seasons. Remember how long it took them getting embarrassed on Monday Night Football by the Green Bay to like have Wade Phillips move on? How long was Jason Garrett on the hot seat in Dallas? Like
I think he still is.
Yeah, I think that in hearing those comments, that Jerry Jones never wanted to do. For whatever happened between him and Jimmy Johnson, I think affected him for all of it, the way that he handled head coaches the rest of the way. Because he was too quick there, but I think with a lot of the guys that he had, he was too long with because of what he just said, that maybe he got in the way and, you know, how he, you know, bleeped it up. I think that actually sheds light on what has happened with the Cowboys coaches ever since Jimmy Johnson left. Is that maybe Jerry's been too loyal and has held on to guys longer as opposed to then, you know, just cutting bait and having Jimmy Johnson leave?
Yeah, certainly with Garrett, it's one that we watched for years, right? And go back to Wade Phillips, 2007 to 2010, he was 34-22 with a couple of NFC East championships, a couple of playoff berths, but they didn't want to lose Jason Garrett. So yeah. Makes the switch there. And, you know, Wade Phillips is always, you know, disregarded as a head coach. Like, no, he was fine. But they didn't want to lose the other guy. They didn't want to lose the offensive guy in the process. So he lost the gig, and, you know, you get into those kind of battles. But for Jerry Jones, now expectations this year, they'll be on Hard Knocks, and we'll get a bunch of those stories, and it'll be a lot of Jerry Jones, I have no doubt. But it's the curiosity all these years. And look, I've got friends, family in Dallas that every year it's the same criticism of, all right, how's he going to screw this one up? Mm-hmm. And it's not anything having to do with the coaching staff or the players. It's squarely on the shoulders of Jerry Jones and how he's managed this squad. And obviously now Steven having such a much bigger role as he does now as well.
Yeah, it also shows you, too, for a guy who's 78 years old, and it's funny to even hear in the clip, because Barry Switzer, I mean, just seems like he's always just been 48 or 52, no matter where he's been.
Yeah.
You know, that he was their coach at Arkansas, the position coach. I believe he was the running backs coach at that time. It's just, it also then just tells you how bad that Jerry wants it now. Because he's looking back saying, I wish I would have done this, or I should have done that, or boy, I really messed that up. And unfortunately, I still don't really have a true answer for why I messed that up. I'll use the clean version.
Yeah.
But it shows. And it's not a surprise. We all know on how anxious he is, and he's talked about it as well. But
it
sheds more light on it.
Yeah, we have that because he certainly brought that up in this process as well.
I'd do anything known to man to get in a Super Bowl. That's a fact. And there's nothing in my mind that can have a higher priority than that.
There it is. Mm. Now he sounds like a villain. I'll do anything. With that deep voice, put a little bit of a bass underneath there and, add some pace with a little bit of a snare drum. And all of a sudden we've got the makings of a movie trailer. I'd do anything.
The one good thing that he has going for him is he is in the NFC.
Well, he's in the NFC East. Like, I mean, yeah. And look, and much, as much as folks want to get on board the Washington football team, you sure you're getting another full season out of Fitzmagic?
Well, my point was, when you look at the AFC and you look at even with seven teams in there, yeah, there's going to be a bad Houston Texans team, the Jets, sorry, Jason Smith.
No, it's true.
Are going to be dealing with some growing pains. But again, I think there's going to be a one or at least two really good teams left out of the playoff picture, the AFC, because of how good that conference is. And obviously, they'll have to figure out a way to get through Kansas City as well.
I just want to hear a how about them Cowboys one more time from Jerry Jones. I mean, it's like he's a guy that's been a legend. Like him or not, he is one of the guys that's the architect of what this league is.
Yeah,
right.
Sorry.
And us in here in Los Angeles, there's no team here in Los Angeles if Jerry Jones. And I'm not talking about when he was talking to Ari Gold on Entourage. In reality, there's no team here without his influence in making that happen.
And it's very true that the league is better when the Cowboys are good. I know we don't want to admit that. We don't want to say that. We say it's the NFL, but truly it is. It is a different feel when Dallas is good. It's
well, I mean, the hate watching has to be an effect.
Sure.
And if they're no good, it's just, here they are again. You're force-fed them.
Yeah.
So you hate what you're watching, but not necessarily the team.
Yeah.
He's Dan Byer. I'm Mike Harmon. This is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Yesterday, we brought you the audio of Giannis Antetokounmpo and his trip to Chick-fil-A. He's still asking for freebies. I'll tell you how much it was worth.
Do you think the Cubs would rather have Anthony Rizzo or Rizzo from Greece? That's the real question right now.
I'm all about Stockard Channing. I'm in. Or Rizzo the Rat from The Muppets. How about that?
Sure.
How's that? Next level
I'll
stuff
take your
right
word
there.
For it. I actually
You're going to need to know these things soon enough, Dan Byer.
I have a question for Steve DeSager about Olympic rowing, if we can do it next hour.
Next hour, we will do some Olympic All rowing. Right. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we will continue our, hey, do you remember 2020 game for the NFL? But wanted to pay this off. The MVP index, at MVP index, they do brand calculations based on, you know, all your media metrics and try to figure out how much advertising something is worth, right? You know, when someone does a little bit of a brand shout out or it's in their frame, whatever. Giannis Antetokounmpo and his trip to Chick-fil-A yesterday, 47 posts across Twitter, Facebook, and IG, 36.3 million impressions, $294,000 in brand value.
Wow. I mean,
just for going in, hey, not 51, not 49, but 50.
Yeah. And who needs to be open on Sunday?
Yeah. He keeps asking for freebies, too, by the way.
it's the greatest. I mean, it truly is. But, man, and by the way, that Chick-fil-A worker, that was the prototypical Chick-fil-A worker. Smiling, very you know welcoming, like that's what you get. It was a perfect commercial for Chick-fil-A, as opposed to having two people sitting on a couch talking about how they met at a Chick-fil-A or whatever. That was the perfect Chick-fil-A ad. For that branding number is absurd, but that should just be the commercial that they play for the next month or so.
And the fact that they didn't have to pay a dime for it, so there you go. Adding value. I'd still give him figure out a deal with him and become the face and just roll from there. Brand recognition, a beautiful thing. Here's your lifetime card. He's Dan Byer. I'm Mike Harmon. This is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we figure out the things, well, we don't know. Hit the rewind button. It's in the deep recesses of our brain somewhere, particularly you and I, Dan, from all the I Want Your Flex episodes. Some of it's got to be in there. We'll see if we can shake it free next year on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Dan Byer is in for Jason Smith tonight. A lot of angst and anxiousness here around the Fox Sports Radio studios and all throughout Southern California as Kenley Jansen is on trying to pick up a save for the Dodgers. And to quote an NFL legend to mix sports for a moment, he's struggling.
This is my nightmare.
And so everybody's on their feet, or they're wringing their hands, or maybe muttering curse words, some combinations I may have never heard before aloud here around the studio and people in the streets across the great city of L.A., Dan, because this one is pretty tense right now, especially given Jansen's last week.
You know, Steve had the stats at the bottom of the hour. It's why Kenley Jansen should never participate in the Home Run Derby again, because look at what he's done after the All-Star break. It's just completely fallen off. He's just not the same pitcher that he was. But I mean, it's it's amazing that it's actually still 3-1 because actually I thought the Giants could have had a run scored on the
correct
double.
A double to center field that was grossly misplayed.
Yes, yes. And so, but instead, second and third with two outs and the
get
Giants
to your
still
spot, man. I tell you, closers. That's a high wire position and one that we'll be watching to see what the Dodgers do. We've been talking about a lot about starting pitching next week, the trade deadline, a lot about starting pitching, giving the injuries to Kershaw, the situation with Trevor Bauer and Dustin May. Like there's a need to build the staff and make sure you've got enough reserves. Urias, a guy that has shown dominance in big pressure situations, but a guy that you like in your rotation. So we'll see. Kimbrel, among others, in the rumor, conjecture, speculation. Bases are now loaded after a walk. Let's get to our 2020 game because, well, it'll be less tense for everybody involved. And for those of you that don't like the Dodgers, well, you're cackling like mad men and women across this great nation because anytime there's a defending champion that has any bit of, I don't know what you want to call it, hiccups and stumbling blocks as you're getting into pennant races, the early part thereof. Yeah, maybe there's a little bit of enjoyment there, you know, that Schadenfreude thing. All right, so we talked about receiving touchdowns. This is where we last left off. We've got Steve DeSager, Chris Perfett, Bo Benson, and of course you, Dan Beyer, trying to figure this out. We got Devontae Adams, we got Tyreek Hill, and we got Travis Kelce. Don't call me Kelce anymore. We had four more names on the list of the touchdown receiving leaders to figure out. Can we name them?
Stephon Diggs, would he be one of them?
How about that?
No, he's your target leader, but not touchdowns. But he is connected to one of the guys on the list.
Oh, Adam Thielen?
Correct. 14 right. receiving touchdowns for him. One of those guys got a saucer put on his ring finger today.
Mike Evans?
Correct.
All right.
Another guy got a shiny new toy running opposite him this offseason in a big acquisition.
A.J. Brown?
Correct. And the last. And the last is one that's a little off the radar. He became a hero for us on I Want Your Flex because all he did was catch touchdowns.
And his name is John C.
Yeah! Smackdown on Fox, baby. You can't see me. You can't see me. All right, it's Robert Tonyan. All right. Five teams finished with a point differential of scoring at least 100 points fewer than they allowed. Can we name those teams?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know the stat. Anybody help?
Jets, Jacksonville, Detroit, Denver,
Texans?
Cincinnati.
Huh.
There you go. 100 points fewer than they scored. Good job by them. All right, coming up next, we talk about the big story out of college football. It's all about the Benjamins.